And you've got it tuned in to Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, sing along, Conzi. I'm already getting wrote out about that one. Oh no, I shouldn't have done it. You know that tune. That is a Happy Days tune. And that was big time. That was huge. You know, you just don't even think how big that was. But he, as Don Most, our guest tonight, has been talking about, that was when it was three networks, you guys. Three networks. And you know the bad thing about it? I'll have to ask him about it if I remember. They didn't get that syndicated money like these other people do. Oh, man, that's where they missed it. Because, oh, they only knew at that time. Wow. Who knows? Mercy. Well, so it's Don Most we're talking to. We'll be back with him shortly, but I wanted you to go check out our wonderful website that we have. We have a great, Coast to Coast AM has a great website. We have so many really neat things on there that you send us and that we put up there ourselves. And just, I mean, just across the board, there's a ton of things on there. But tonight, besides looking up our earlier guest and the how you can get a hold of him and learning about the marketing, but also you can check out the songs that Don has sang. And so you go to his bio there, and you're going to be able to click on the different songs that he sent to us that it leads over there. You can hear him singing and the different little things that he does. He's done so many things. And also, you can look in another area if you just, like, click on. So I'm clicking on it myself. It's just a great, it's just a great site here. So you go to the beginning of it, and you're going to see where we call it the feature. I guess they call it the feature, the carousel, I think you can even call it, but it says video, Don Most UFO sighting. And you can actually see some still shots right there of what he had caught on camera. And it's pretty neat, isn't it? So if you get a chance, go take a look at it. And then you'll see that you can actually, it can actually be played too here. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, where's the hit? Is it, maybe it's just the still shots. Maybe that's what he, oh, here it is. Watch the video on Facebook. I'm sorry. Duh. All right. So look a little closer than I did. And it takes you to the video that he shot. So we're going to be talking about that. So in the meantime, go check out our wonderful website and you'll get to see what he caught on tape. And that's just one of them. So yeah, a little freaky. Maybe they're following him around. We'll learn more here shortly. Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Don Most coming up. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. You like that guy, Don?
Yeah, he's got some potential, I think. I have to check him out a little further. Got to hear more. See where it goes, where this song kicks into several gears soon. It really goes up and up, but it's moving up. It modulates, as we say. It goes up a half a key every verse. It just keeps going up and up, and band starts swinging more and more. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
You sound like you're having a ball.
Oh, boy, I love it. It was my first sort of love.
Okay, we can slow it down.
I was pursuing the singing before acting.
Uh-huh.
So it's in my blood, you know. It's deep in me.
Well, dude, what happened, like, with Happy Days? It was Patsy that was starting to sing. Maybe that was after you left, because, I mean, you could have sang.
No, he was singing from early on.
Okay.
Anson wrote a really great book called Singing to a Bulldog, and there's a chapter in it where he explains how he convinced Gary Marshall to let him sing, because, you know, he said, you got the 50s thing going with all the, the drive-in and the car hops and the clothes, and, you know, the poodle skirts, and you got the whole thing going, but you don't have the music. You need a band, and we could form a band at Arnold's. And he said, well, what are you doing? And he, you know, Anson told him that he was a singer. And it's a really funny story. I won't tell the rest of it because you have to read it. But he got to Gary and kind of established himself as the singer, because Gary said, okay, let's try it. You know, and they did an episode, and it went really well. So they did it more and more. And by the time I got to Gary, they said, wait a minute, you know, I sing too. You know, I could have a, you could have more than one singer in a band. But Gary didn't want to mess with, you know, sort of the image that it created, that Patsy was the singer and Ralph was more of the crack-up guy, the comedian, you know. So, you know, every once in a while they let me sing it here and there, but that's kind of how that happened.
Yeah. Maybe that was in between the lip-ups.
Yeah, the lip-ups on the pinball machine, right?
I love it. I love it. Practicing to kiss. I love it.
Yeah, so, yeah, Fonzie had us doing lip-ups.
That was so cute. So cute. Well, so before, I want to ask you a couple of things, but there was a couple of questions that came in, and one of them was that somebody wants to know, what did you think of the Family Guy deal with you?
Oh, I thought it was really funny, and that was me. I did my, it was my own voice. What happened was my agent called me one day and said, you know, that Seth MacFarlane had called, they were going to do this really, this bit about me in an episode, and they would love to have me come in and do myself, play, you know, do my own voice. But they didn't know if I would take kindly to it or if I'd be offended. And they said, we're going to do it. You know, we'd rather him come in and do it, but if he doesn't want to do it, we'll get somebody else. But then, so I read the script of what they were going to be doing, and I thought it was really funny. So I said, hell yeah, I'll go in and do it. I don't want somebody else playing me, you know, doing my voice. So I did it. And then, you know, then Seth showed me some of the sort of the storyboards or, you know, the visuals of what it was going to be. And I thought, oh, this is really going to be funny. And it wasn't until I saw it, you know, where I saw the whole production and they do the song, the Donnie Bush song. And it came out really well. It's, I think it's hysterical. And a lot of people, you know, I hear from a lot of people about it. They dug it too.
Oh, yeah. So if you have it, you got to describe it to people that didn't see it, because, you know, if you can.
Well,
there's enough time.
Then they go on YouTube and put in Family Guy and Donnie Most, and they'll be able to see it. I'll ruin it.
No, you got to tell. We want to hear you tell it because it's funny.
Well, all right. Basically,
yeah, spoiler alert. He's going to do it.
Basically, I forget the main character's name, Stewie or and somebody else.
Stewie and Brian, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And
they were in the woods. It's sort of a takeoff from something in the old play in a movie, Brigadoon, I believe. But they're somewhere in the woods, and then Stewie, I think, says, oh, you know where we are? This is the spot where once every, I don't know how many years, Donnie Most rises from the haze. And, you know, I can't remember what he says beyond that. But and they say, you know, the other guy says, oh, really? You know, and then all of a sudden the music starts, and the song, which they created to, I think, a song from Brigadoon. It's they say my name in the song. They keep repeating my name, and then also my character starts rising from the ground, and while this beautiful choir is singing the song, and then it's going Donnie Mo, something like that, and then finally I get to, you know, I rise all the way, the music stops, and I go, actually, it's Don Most now. And then I start going down, and they start singing Donnie Most. It's really funny. Because, you know, just having a good time with the fact that I, you know, I had abandoned my original name of Donnie and graduated to Don, you know.
You've grown up.
I was all grown up now. So I had to move up to Don, you know. So they were having a little fun with that. And got in on the fun with them.
What a great appearance. That was great. I remember just seeing that. And you look at it when you first see it, like, what is going on? What's Donnie's just standing there rising up.
Rising from the mist. Yeah, it was very well done. They did a fabulous job.
And then the pinnacle, hey, it's, you know, Don or whatever you said. It was just great.
Oh, no.
Very
Come on,
cute.
Get with it.
That's
Get
right.
with it.
Hello. I'm older now. I'm older now. So that was great. I'm going to ask you another question that somebody wrote in, and there's people calling in. But this, I want it to lead into what we're excited about with the UFO. And that is, somebody had asked regarding the Stanton Friedman book, Magic Men, if you still own the right. I didn't know you owned the rights. Well, I guess you did, but are you going to make it into the movie? And, you know, what Stanton wanted, Richard Dreyfuss, right? So.
Yeah, Stanton, that was a suggestion. Like, so he could see Dreyfuss playing him if we got the movie done. Yeah, Magic Men was originally the name of the script that I'm partners with Bryce Abel, who I know is a frequent guest on Coast to Coast. Bryce created the TV show Dark Skies on NBC, which was a UFO show, and he wrote the first movie on the Sci-Fi Channel, which was dealing with UFOs. And so he and I are great friends, longtime friends, and you know, we both had such an interest in that field and knew we'd like to try to do a project together at some point. And he'd come to me, this was some years ago, and said he had an idea to option the rights to two separate books, Stan Friedman's Top Secret Magic, M-A-J-I-C, that M-A-J-I-C was from, you know, the Majestic 12. And then the other book we optioned alongside of it was Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall's Witness to Roswell. And then our idea was to sort of incorporate both Stanton and Don and their journey and their seeking of the truth and create a film around a lot of the events that they covered and all the the controversies, the dramas about and the cover up and all of that. And so we still have the rights, and Bryce and I worked on the story, sort of breaking down what the story would be, the arc of it in the film. And then Bryce went and wrote the screenplay, and it's really, really good. And, it's never easy to get a movie made and get it picked up either by a company or get the financing. We're still pushing forward I'm optimistic we'll get it done. I don't know when, but I'm pretty sure at the right time it'll happen.
And I guess he was wanting Dreyfuss to play his part.
Well, yeah, that was one of the. I remember in a discussion he brought it up that he could see, there's a whole. I remember we had a list of actors that we thought could play him, and. It'll be fun when we really get to do it. That's for sure. I can't. I'm starting to. I don't know. I'm feeling like it's getting closer. I just have a sense that it's getting closer to becoming a reality.
Well, how close do you think these UFOs are going to get to you, or have they gotten to you? You got some great video. But what are your thoughts on that? Tell us about this
I didn't think of that aspect of it until you brought it up to me when we were talking on your Blue Rock TV. What happened was there were two incidents that happened, within, I'd say, 3 months of each other. This was back in 2008, June, because I saw it on the when I pulled out the original case of it was like I shot it on a little mini DV camera and digital, those mini digital cameras. And on the case, I had the date, June, I think it was 22nd, 2008. And I think it was, I'm not sure if it was the first time or the second time, but I was awakened in the middle of the night. There was this big, loud clunk. And I realized pretty quickly as I woke up that the power had gone out. And because, you know, the little lights that were normally on, it was off, and the clock was flashing because they lost power. And I was like lying there for about, I don't know, maybe half a minute. And for some reason, I don't know why, I had an urge to go and look out the window at this moment. And now, I don't know, there was something that was unnerving about the way the power went off or the noise I heard. I don't know. But I went to, we had like sliding glass doors, but I pulled the, you know, the shade or the curtain that was there, I can't remember. And I looked out, and the vantage point from that room, there was a big swath of sky, because where we were positioned, there was nothing, you know, impeding the view. So I could see a big patch of sky, and I see this light in the distance that caught my attention pretty quickly, you know, and it was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I had this urge to look out the window, and I see this light, and I'm looking at it, thinking, oh, it might be a plane or a star. I wasn't quite sure. But I realized it wasn't a plane, because it wasn't coming towards me and getting bigger. It wasn't going to the side. It was just sort of stationary. And I'm thinking, okay, well, then maybe it's a planet or a star. But then it started exhibiting some strange characteristics that, you know, I've looked at the sky a lot, and I had not seen this. I'd never seen a star do this, or I'd never seen, you know, a planet do this. And it started, like, had different colors, and I zoomed. So then when I started seeing this, because it almost had like a strobing effect, and the light would sort of shimmer and then get bigger around it, and then it disappear, almost just blink out and then come back, and going, what the hell? So I ran and grabbed my camera, my video camera, and started shooting it. And I remember zooming in on it as much as I could, because it was pretty far in the distance, it seemed. So I zoomed in, and it was tough then, you know, to hand holding it, it's going to move. You know, once you zoom in, any movement gets magnified. So when people watch this, if they see it moving around, that's more generated by my hand moving just slightly, and it gets magnified with that kind of a zoom lens on it. So, but then, you know, it started, I'd see like the blue color, and then all of a sudden there'd be a little bit of a red color, and then the light around it would sort of grow in intensity and scope, and then, like I said, do weird things. So I shot this for like around 25 minutes, and you know, and it's just, it kept doing it, you know, on and off. There'd be periods where it would sort of quiet down and not do anything too unusual, and then it would start up again, and then literally it would blink out and just not be there, and then I'd like be looking for it, and then it'd pop up again. And so I think I told you this, and then 3 months later, 3 or 4 months later, I can't remember what brought it up, but I looked out the window again. I don't remember what precipitated it, and it was the same thing. And I shot it a second time. And then I remember talking, at the time I was talking to somebody who knew somebody at MUFON, and they said, here's, you know, you could send it in, and they'll do an analysis of it, you know. So I did, and I made a copy of it and sent it to him, because I didn't want to give up my only copy.
Well, don't say anything. We're gonna tell the answer of what they said when we come back. We're gonna end with Blue Skies by you. It's Don Most, everybody, that we're talking to. Here's his song as we head out. You're listening to Coast AM. Stay with us. The most listened to overnight radio program in North America, Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. And where can you find me otherwise? Please join me on my show, Blue Rock Talk TV. It is home of Far Out Thursday, where Donnie Most was once before. He is a blue rocker, so he told his story there. And also Bigfoot Friday. as well as On the Road with Connie, Creepy Hotspots. That's our project. And next week, we're going to be heading out to a creepy hotspot that we've been to before, the vicinity of it. Dennis Fole took me there before in that area. And Jason Frank, of course, well, he's going to be leading this one. And Bobo was there, and Sasquatch Journey. And I'm telling you, I've seen it all up there, everything, all within hours of each other. I mean, I'm telling you, it is creepy and it is exciting, and we'll be live streaming. And that's what my show is all about. It is Blue Rock Talk, Earth's most interesting conversations with the most interactive and participatory live streaming network on the planet. That's what I like to say. It's BlueRockTalk.tv. Please join BlueRockTalk.tv. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, having a great time tonight with a wonderful guy from Happy Days long ago, Ralph Mouth. And, I mean, this guy's done it all. In fact, Don Most is his name. Don, before we get back to the MUFON part of your UFO story, you got movies going on. You got it all going on. You got it all happening all at once here.
Yeah, I have a really good movie that I'm in that's on right on Amazon Prime, and it's also recently just went into other platforms like Tubi. So if you're not an Amazon Prime member, then you could watch it on Tubi or Roku and YouTube. It's called MBF, aka Man's Best Friend, it's not dogs are involved, but it's not like that kind of movie. It's a pretty heavy, powerful film about a wounded vet coming back from Afghanistan and with post-traumatic syndrome and a brain injury, and trying to assimilate, and something happens. I won't tell you what, but some kind of horrific something that where he gets arrested and needs an attorney, and I play a guy who gets assigned to his case to represent him. And it's a really, really good script, really good film, great actors in it. I had some really wonderful scenes. So I'm pretty proud of it. Very different, than what people would remember me from. Happy Days, for sure. So that's on right now. And then I did another movie with the same company out of Michigan. It's a great production company called Collective Development. And it's called Lost Heart. And that will be out at the end of the summer, early fall. And then the other thing that I'm doing, believe it or not, that I did recently, because you go, well, how did you shoot? Well, it's a web series called Viral Vignettes. And it's two actors in each episode, pretty well known. I did the very first one with a great actor, Robert Wool. We shot it. I was in my home office on my computer, on Skype or whatever, and he was in his house, and the producer director was in his place recording it all, and it was a really funny script. And so each episode is a different, short, like vignette, as the viral vignettes. It's each episode is like maybe 10 minutes, but they're really funny. And so at this time, we could all use some laughs. People could check it out on YouTube. Just put in Viral Vignettes and my name, and you'll see the two that I've done, two episodes as an actor, and I directed another one. And they're really good. They're really fun. So people could check that out, something that is very recent.
Yeah, and I think I saw you do something with Anson, too, where he was, like, getting blood, guess. What was that?
That was a great it was a pilot that we did for a TV show. And this episode, it's called Harvest Time, is that episode. And we play brothers, but it's very, very, again, very different than Happy Days. It's very dark, very dark humor, and it gets pretty intense. And we play brothers, and his health is such where he needs a kidney, and he's on dialysis. He's on this home dialysis machine, and I'm sort of his near-do-well brother who's always got some kind of scheme. And I had promised he's going to need a kidney, and I promised him you know, a kidney, and then I will tell you, you got to watch it. That's also, you can check that out on YouTube. Just put my name in Harvest Time, or Hanson Williams' name, or both of our names in Harvest Time. It's a beautifully written piece by a guy named Fred Stroppel, who's a award-winning New York playwright. And it was originally a one-act play, but we adapted it. Nancy directed this one and did a great job of capturing this, because it's just the two of us for like 25, 30 minutes going at it straight, you know, in real time. It's pretty intense. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's got, for those under 14 or 13 or whatever it is, it's got a little bleep, bleep, bleep in there, right? I was like, couldn't believe you said some of those things. I'm like, no, that's not the guy. No, don't say those things.
Yeah, there's a bit of, people should be forewarned. It's like PG-14 for the, there's some raw language in there, but it's really appropriate for the situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way these guys would talk, you know?
So, yeah.
It's very true to that.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Do you like directing?
I do.
Because you've done that before, right?
Yeah, I've done three independent films. The first one was called The Last Best Sunday. I did it back in 99. Pretty heavy drama. Two high school kids, kind of a Romeo and Juliet story. But it's great actors and a great script. And then I did a comedy drama called Moolah, M-O-O-L-A, as in money. And I had a great time doing that. I was around 2005 with some really terrific actors, Daniel Baldwin and Curtis Armstrong and Doug Hutchinson and Charlotte Ross. And then it was the introduction of, at that time, a 13-year-old Shailene Woodley, and she's gone on to become quite a big star. But this was her first film. So, and then I did a little more recently. I directed a family film, a really sweet story, sort of a girl and horse and her horse movie, and that was called Harley's Hill. And I have several projects now that I'm trying to get going. One of them I mentioned. I'm more of a producer on that one, on the script with Bryce, you know, based on Stanton and Don Schmidt's books, Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall's book, but several other really great projects that I want to direct, and some people are looking at right now who are very interested. So I'm hoping one of these gets going as soon as we are able to.
Excellent, excellent. And one of the films you just did, there was a UFO thing happening in it, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lost Heart, the movie that I mentioned that's coming out late summer, early spring. Yes, there's a UFO, the subject of UFOs and a couple of scenes dealing with UFOs are in the film, and it's kind of integral to the story, very much so. I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to give away, but the very opening scene of the movie, I'm in a car with a friend of mine, and we're looking out over, it's in Michigan, looking out over a lake, and where I guess he's kind of in, his character's into it big time, and we're out there looking for it. And then we see one. And then it comes up again later in the movie. It's an integral part of the film. You'll have to see it. I won't give any more away.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. So let's get back to your real sighting, that all these things, you know, somehow, I don't know why, I got up and then I went to the window and I had all these urges and I don't know what's going on. It was more than once, y'all. So you guys know what I'm leading to of Don. So he took the Dr. David M. Jacobs, the survey. Remember the survey that David Jacobs gives? The questionnaire.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You were talking to me about that survey, right? Did we do it? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did the survey, but you didn't, like, okay, you guys, so Dr. David M. Jacobs, you guys know him. He does that, has that questionnaire to see if you're an abductee, and before he it goes ahead and regresses you because he can't do it to everybody. So we did it to Dawn.
That's right. And I can't remember what the, score, what the outcome of what it indicated.
Well, we didn't.
It wasn't conclusive, right?
We could have done more, yeah. But you said, you know, you were like, nope. I mean, there was a lot of, it wasn't you. But then there were some that was like, holy cow, it was you. It was an abductee right there. So we don't know. Yeah, we didn't get to finish because it was time to go. So we didn't get to finish.
Right.
We'll do that.
Well, yeah, you got me thinking. Wondering a little bit about that.
I can understand. Well, the way you describe it, totally. So now at the very end, you were like taking this to MUFON, the picture, and what happened there?
Yeah, the video. So they looked at it. They did their whole analysis. And when they got back to me, they said that they basically were able to rule out all of the known possibilities. They could not say, as all your listeners, I'm sure, are well aware of, you know, a flying object means just that. It's unidentified. In this case, they couldn't say to me, oh, this is a intelligently controlled vehicle from, you know, another planet or anything like that. But that what they were able to say, they could rule out all of the possible identifiable things. It was not a plane. It was not you know, the space station or a star or a planet or a comet or anything known. And so they said it's unidentified. This is an unidentified flying object or unidentified aerial object, whatever you, because it was in the air. You know, I didn't see it flying in the conventional sense, but it was up there suspended in the air for all that time doing very, you know, exhibiting very weird characteristics. So, you know, I mean, that's about as good as you can get, unless it was something very close that you could make out, you know, with the kind of proximity and interaction with something. But they basically said it's unidentified. It is a UFO.
And how many did you see along the way? How many times have you captured?
There were only two of those sightings that, and like I said, they happened within a few months of each other. I haven't had any, you know, other ones since. So
that you remember.
That I can remember. Yeah, that's the one caveat to that, right?
I think that's great, though. But your wife didn't notice anything when you guys were together, right? She was just didn't care.
She was sleeping. You know, the first one, I think, you know, I was very quiet and I didn't, you know, I don't think she woke up, and she didn't know about it till, you know, the morning when I told her. The second one, I think she was up and saw me at the window, but I don't think she got up to look with me because she was still, you know, it was like in the middle of the night, she was half asleep. So she didn't come by and look at it, but then I showed her the video, you know, and that was pretty much it. I don't remember, for some reason, I think, you know, when I was younger, I might have, you know, I used to go, I grew up in Brooklyn, but I spent my summers upstate, sort of out in the country, and there would be great, you know, starlit skies where you could really see a lot of clear nights. And I'd look at the sky a lot because, like I said, I was reading books about UFOs from a pretty young age. And so I was fascinated. And for some reason, I kind of vaguely remember that, I saw something that it wasn't anything blatant or, you know, right there in your face, but it looked interesting and strange to me at the time.
And is that the Catskills or?
It wasn't that far. It was probably about an hour from the Catskills. I spent that one summer in the Catskills when I was singing in all the hotels up there. And that was about an hour away from where I spent my summers, where my grandparents had a summer house.
Oh, well, you know, that could have been the beginning of all of it. Because that, you know, that area, even where you're talking, that's a big area for a lot of really cool, interesting things.
You go up the Hudson. It's like, and I think there's a whole Hudson Valley. I remember reading about, you know, a lot of sightings and stuff going on. And I think there were power plants involved in the Hudson Valley sightings. So this was pretty close to that, where I spent my summers. It was basically about 15 minutes from West Point, where West Point is, about 20 minutes. And that's right on the Hudson, where West Point is, very close to the Hudson River. So that whole area, yes, I think has had there's been a lot of activity there, I believe.
Well, hey, you've done so much for us. Thank you so much for being here on Coast to Coast. It was great. Thanks for being my guest.
Oh, thank you for having me, Connie. It was great talking to you again. And look forward to more of your shows on your Blue Rock TV. And maybe getting out there with you one of these days to one of these hot spots.
Oh, man. I'm going to drag you next week if I can. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. That's crazy. Well, thanks. Well, just where can people find you real quick?
Well, on Facebook, Don Most, and then on Twitter, @most_Don, and Instagram is DonMost1. So there it is.
And there's a DonnieMost.com, right?
Yes, DonnieMost.com website. Yes, I have to update that. I've been woefully neglectful of it, but I will get back to it and update it soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon, okay? Hey, you got to say it. You got to leave saying, what's going on? You got to leave. Come on. What do you say?
What do I say? Oh, you mean my catchphrase? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
And I borrowed this one from Jerry Paris. That's what I was talking about earlier, our director. He used to say that, and then I used it one day without telling anybody, and then they loved it, and they started writing it in more and more, and that was, I still got it.
And he does, everybody. Don Most on Coast to Coast AM. Eric Salgado, we had him earlier, and we want to thank all of you guys for being here with us for both shows, and myself here, Connie Willis. It was fun. From the KOA News Radio Studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, many thanks going out to so many people that have put this together, and that is Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Dan Galanti, Chris Burrows, Stephanie Smith, Tommy Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Greg Bishop, Sean Ludisour, Tim Banal, Gene Salvati. Oh my gosh, there's so many people behind this you guys just don't even know, do you? Trisha Pepe, Shannon Scott, Donna Walker, Mike Cosio, Mike. We also have Angie Cillo Pillow, geez, looking at me, George Knapp, Greg Foster, Mike Wolf, George Norrie, of course, we cannot forget him, and we've got Donna that did the phones here for us tonight, too. Thank you so much for that, and I think I've got everybody, I think that's it. We're good, right? Okay. And we've also got John C. Bond. And, hey, until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis. Good night.